and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The public war of words between President Trump and former advisor Elon Musk began with Musk calling the Republican tax and spending bill abominable. And correspondent Nancy Cortes reports the feud quickly went ballistic after Trump said Musk knew for a long time what was in the legislation.
"This bill was never shown to me even once," Musk spat back as he rebutted his former boss in real time with a flurry of posts on his social media site, X. "Bankrupting America is not okay," he wrote. "Kill the bill.
It goes to very special people."
The very public falling out comes just 6 days after Trump handed Musk a key to the White House and 4 months after the two declared their bond unbreakable.
Tyrese Haliburton scored with almost no time left to lead the Indiana Pacers toward a win over the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 1 of the NBA Finals Thursday night.
Haliburton driving, pulls off, jump shot.
That call on ESPN, the final score was 111 to 110. The man accused of an anti-Semitic attack that left 15 people injured in Boulder, Colorado, has another court date Friday. CBS's Anna Schechter tells us what to expect.
Since it's a preliminary hearing, it's an initial hearing. Generally, these are very short formality. And remember, the investigation is actually ongoing. Investigators have not yet stopped looking for any ties to another individual that might have encouraged him in some way or supported him.
The Supreme Court has ruled unanimously that a law allowing Mexico to sue U.S. gunmakers for the violence in Mexico is invalid. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says the burden of proof on Smith and Wesson in this case was too great.
The statute itself gives virtual blanket immunity to gun manufacturers, except in certain specific cases like aiding and abetting. The court just said it's all too distant. You can't tie what the gun manufacturers do to the violence in Mexico.
Might President Trump's new travel ban on a dozen countries interfere with the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles? Here's Reynold Hoover, CEO of LA28, as the games are known.
There is a carve-out in the order, in the travel ban, that allows for and assures that there will be access to the games, the Olympics, for the athletes and their families and the officials. We will be able to have a wide-open games.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Aaron Rodgers to join the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting Rodgers will report to Pittsburgh when the Steelers hold their mandatory veteran minicamp next week. Rodgers says he's been in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did, went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
In golf, the AmFam Championship underway at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison, raising millions for charity.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Strickler with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly cloudy skies, light winds, and morning lows will dip into the mid and upper 50s. On Friday, partly sunny skies, and there will be some showers, even some rumbles of thunder. High temperatures will warm to the lower 70s, currently 62 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us, plus our regular Week in Review panelists, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I guess the only way I can describe this is a billionaire weird guy feud that's happening right now on Twitter. If you are not glued to your Twitter or true social accounts, my goodness, I'm going to tell you all about what is going on. Elon Musk and Donald Trump, consider the love affair over, question mark? Or, ladies and gentlemen, is this all a distraction from the big, brutal bill and the devastation that it will wreak for everyday Americans? Just moments ago, a story coming out in the New York Times that millions of ACA enrollees will lose their healthcare coverage under the big, brutal bill. We knew that the ACA or exchange medical plan coverage would get much, much more expensive. For some people, maybe even nearly double the cost under the big, brutal bill. New analysis showing that millions will lose their healthcare, not just because of the Medicaid cuts, but because of what the brutal bill does to the ACA. We have got a stacked show this afternoon. We are going to be joined as soon as possible by Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan. So excited to have Representative Pocan joining me, especially because he's in on the Musk-Trump feud, retweeting some of what Donald Trump has just posted, thanking Donald Trump for his endorsement of the bill that Representative Pocan introduced called the Elon Musk Act. I can't wait to talk with him about it. Oh my gosh, so much happening. Even Aaron Rodgers making news this afternoon. Not to worry, everybody. We have you covered back to front. We've got, of course, Representative Pocan starting us out this afternoon. Then we're going to be joined by Center for American Progress Action Fund Senior Fellow Tom Javits talking about immigration. We've got William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward talking about Medicaid. Maybe we can sneak in some of this new reporting from the New York Times. Also in breaking news this afternoon, an ethics complaint, frankly, a pretty big deal, has been filed in the state of Florida against Attorney General Pam Bondi. That's an ethics complaint, this misconduct complaint filed by Democracy Defenders Fund, as well as lawyers defending American democracy, lawyers for the rule of law, along with a whole slew of other prominent attorneys, law professors, and former judges. We're going to dig into all of this, including the fact that Mark Pocan went toe-to-toe with Russell Vogt, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, yesterday, and I think ate the man's lunch. We've got that sound for you as well. But of course, let's do the fun thing first. You all know, if you've been listening to the Civic Media Network, that it is the Wisconsin Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, where in the 4 o'clock hour on this program every day and in every network talk show across the network, you're going to have a chance to win in the hour by texting in the keyword of the hour via the Civic Media app. Now, don't text in like you normally would. You got to go get the app and text it in via the app. Once you text in the keyword of the day, excuse me, the afternoon or this hour, I should be as specific as possible here, you will be entered to win the prize that is given away in this hour, either $100 or Brewers tickets. It will also enter you to win one of our fabulous grand prizes, including getaways to Wisconsin Dells and Door County, including gas money to get there. How fabulous is that? And in honor of one of those very giveaways, the word this hour is Dells, D-E-L-L-S, D-E-L-L-S. Start texting that in and get entered to win. It is going to be a fun afternoon. Just a little hint for Jacob, hearing from some of our texters online that the show is not streaming yet. So if we could make sure that we do that, we will get the stream going, folks. If remember, you can always listen with your app. So if the stream ain't working, not to sweat it. We will get it going shortly here. Let me tell you a little bit. Again, if you're just joining us on the live stream, the word to win this hour in the 4 o'clock hour is Dells, D-E-L-L-S. You want to text that in for our Scotty Summer Text to Win giveaway. That's going to qualify you to win one of our two getaways. Brewers tickets are $100. Again, that word is Dells, D-E-L-L-S. We, again, are waiting for Congressman Pocan. A vote on the House floor got pushed back a bit, so he will be joining us just as soon as he can. Let me tell you a bit about this misconduct complaint that has been filed by a huge group of lawyers and former judges against Attorney General Pam Bondi. The complaint there, I only had a few minutes to take a look at it. Again, this is breaking news this afternoon. It explains how the Attorney General basically tried to compel, force Department of Justice lawyers to violate their ethical obligations under the guise of quote-unquote zealous advocacy. Of course, as every lawyer knows, you can't make any freaking argument that comes across your head. You can represent, and you're indeed obligated to represent your clients in a zealous manner, but that is limited by lawful and ethical measures. Every state's bar says, yes, we have that obligation to zealously advocate for our clients, but we can't make arguments that we know to be untrue, unfounded in the law, unconstitutional, and we can't get up and say facts that aren't true. This particular misconduct complaint against the Attorney General, again, I'd say fairly historic, just I can't even believe I'm saying those words. It focuses on three individual cases or lawyers where department lawyers working for the Department of Justice were terminated or forced to resign as a result of demands that they act unethically, either directly by Ms. Bondi or by a member of her senior staff. Here's what the complaint says. Quote, here by aggressively implementing a zealous advocacy policy that is directed towards conduct in pending and future judicial proceedings and which requires her subordinates to routinely violate the rules of professional conduct, Ms. Bondi has elevated loyalty to the person who appointed her, President Trump, over the interests of her client, the United States. Since the first day on the job, Pam Bondi has made clear that she plans to use the Department of Justice for political pursuits, and she has done just that. Wow. Ouch. You're going to want to watch that space. I'll take a deeper dive into the complaint, have more on that if I find some more salacious language as we go through this afternoon. But again, just a bit of breaking news from across the country. Again, an ethics and misconduct complaint being filed against Attorney General Bondi in Florida by a large group of lawyers led by the Democracy Defenders Fund. I believe we've got Congressman Mark Pocan with me. I'm hearing a little bit of echo, Jacob. Oh, that sounds better. Congressman, are you there with me?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, I'm so glad to have you. You're making news this afternoon, as are the two billionaire babies in chief, right? What is even going on? So I just want to share a couple of these tweets, X posts, whatever we're calling them these days, because wow. So Elon Musk has been tweeting basically all day, slamming the big, brutal bill. We'll get to that, of course, Representative. He tweeted out, should we start a new political party, posting a poll. He says this, time to drop the really big bomb. At real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they haven't been made public. Then Representative Swalwell, your colleague from California, retweeting that. It's just a firestorm. Here's the best part, though. Donald Trump on his Truthy Social puts this out. The easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. And Representative Pocan, we're so very proud of you. You jumped right on that and thanked the president for endorsing the legislation that you introduced right around the last time you were on my show. You thanked him for endorsing the Elon Musk Act. What do you make of all of this?
What's the song about a jilted lover? You know, like these guys, their bromance is in serious jeopardy. You know, I mean, you bought yourself a president and now... You know, they're having some problems. They're probably going to have some therapy. I don't know. But in the meantime, I am going to buy a lot of popcorn tonight, and I am just going to enjoy the social media.
Yeah, that literally amongst my colleagues here at social media, all I posted to our internal chat was popcorn. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm just going to watch this. Maybe they do need a little bit of a couples therapist.
I think so. You know, it's hard to be a right-wing, you know, inhumane, dictating, authoritarian style personality that they both have and be a couple. Usually someone's a little different than the other. And in this case, you know, they're two sides of the same turd, you know? So.
Yes, they all want to be the world's billionaire overlord in chief. When you're vying for the same top job, it's a little hard to find an easy piece. Yeah. All joking aside, Representative Pocan, thank you so much for making time. And I especially want to thank you for your queries that you posed to Rosal Vogt yesterday in the committee hearing. Before we actually get to a wee bit of sound from that hearing, Jacob, do we have time for the setup sound? This is Rosal Vogt back in 2023 talking to a pro-Trump PAC. Do we, sir? No, we don't. So I will just summarize it, Representative, and we'll use that as the kickoff to our further discussion. In it, Rosal Vogt basically gives away the game. He says this is about traumatizing federal workers. Yeah. This is about slashing their budgets, making it so hard for them to do their job, to enforce regulations, to follow the law, to execute faithfully, as government workers are all obligated to do, the laws that you, the first branch of government, have enacted. He gave away the game there. So I just wanted to get your sense of how the hearing went yesterday. Do you think you were able to tease those points out? We've got just about a minute, and then we'll listen to some of what I thought were your more pointed questions yesterday afternoon after the break.
I mean, you know, he's factually incorrect. You know, I mean, all right, and actually, he's lying. Let's be more honest and blunt. He's lying about not adding to the debt because no one agrees with him, even Republicans. He lied about people who are undocumented getting Medicaid because that's impossible. They can't get federal dollar Medicaid. A state can do it. They can put their own money. But not Fed. In fact, a Republican put into the record something about it, and it backed up exactly what I said. So I thanked her for her bipartisanship. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a guy who's, you know, pretty evil, who's the mastermind behind Project 2025. And this is the embodiment of it.
We're going to talk more with Wisconsin representative of the 2nd Congressional District, Mark Pocan, doing the people's work on the Hill, calling out the lies and the cruelty every day, just like we try to do here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more with the congressman in just a moment.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a fine guest to kick us off this beautiful Thursday afternoon. His name is Mark Pocan, of course, Wisconsin's fabulous congressman from the 2nd Congressional District. He went toe-to-toe with the head of the Office of Management and Budget, the architect of Project 2025 yesterday. Gentlemen, and I use that term in its loosest possible sense, named, why am I blanking out? Russell Vogt, of course. You were there. You don't need to hear it, but I do want to share with our listeners a bit of what I thought were some really important moments in that hearing yesterday. Jacob, let's take cut 20.
I think you said the president supports the big bill that was passed out of the House, correct? I think you also said the president does not support cutting Medicare.
Correct.
Okay, so in the bill, there's a $500 billion cut that gets triggered to Medicare. So I know a number of the people who voted for the bill are starting to read it now and finding there's parts they don't like. You might want to take a look at that provision.
As you know.
That's okay. I only have
5 minutes. Okay.
I didn't ask you the question, did I? I'm asking you a question, though. Since we didn't have your remarks this morning, I think we got them this afternoon.
Yeah, the over-talking, like, yeah. Russ Vogt is like the last guy you want to hand an open mic to.
Right, exactly.
But that trigger for the Medicare, you know, we're talking about $500 billion that may trigger is existential for so many people.
And that has not gotten enough coverage. Everyone understands there's a huge cut to Medicaid, $700 billion, a $300 billion cut to the Affordable Care Act for subsidies, but there's a $500 billion cut that got triggered because they didn't do their jobs right to Medicare, and they didn't fix it. They could have, and they didn't. So every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted for that bill, voted for a $500 billion cut to Medicare, our money that we've paid into out of every paycheck, and our employer has paid in for us out of every paycheck. They're stealing our money to give to the feuding guys, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, for their tax cuts. break.
Yeah, the billionaire boys that are in a bit of a tiff this afternoon. I don't understand it. I think Republicans, and I'm going to call them MAGAs because it bears no relationship to conservatism as we've understood it for the last 50 years, that the MAGA regime, they know that this is going to hurt people. They're trying to lie about it. That brings me to this next cut about the deficit. I have never been a deficit hawk. I largely think that it's a distraction. But I think it's important to point this out because Republicans are the ones that will scream about the deficit when it is Democratic priorities or a Democratic budget. But when it is a Donald Trump deficit exploding brutal bill, they have very little to say about it. Let's take a listen. This is Cut 24.
CBO disagrees with your analysis. Yale and Penn said 13.7 million people will lose health insurance. You also said this won't increase the debt. Is that correct?
The bill will not increase the debt. It will lead to
deficits. The Cato Institute disagrees with you. Moody's disagrees. The CBO disagrees. Senator Hawley and Senator Rand and Senator Collins disagree. Elon Musk disagrees. Virtually everyone on this side of the aisle. So you're saying everyone is wrong, but you are the right one that this does not increase the debt?
I'm saying that all the watchdogs, including the Congressional Budget Office, use a skewed vision of a view of what the baseline is.
They were less than a few percent wrong last time on your tax bill when they predicted it almost dead on. So you're saying this time there's significant changes and they don't know what's going on and only you do. Is that correct?
I'm stating that they use a baseline.
So you disagree with the Cato Institute?
Yes.
And Moody's?
Yes.
And Senator Hawley?
Senator Hawley has a view as to the Medicaid programs that we are working with to articulate why we believe that these reforms do not hurt the beneficiaries that are involved.
Yeah.
I would laugh more if it wasn't so dangerous.
Yeah.
Thank you for making that clear. I never trust anyone who says, I'm the only one that has the truth.
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. But don't forget, yeah, I also asked him about Project 2025, because he said on the weekend that, you know, they had nothing to do with it. And then I went through the list of everything that's in there. And there's a lot that, I mean, the overlap, obviously, it is the roadmap they're using. And again, you know, exposing this guy for what he is, which is the ultimate partisan hack, is what needed to happen.
He really is. We do have that sound from the Project 2025 exchange. Let's take it really quickly because I think this is important. This is all written in detail in the Project 2025 MAGA regime playbook. Let's take this. This is Cut 25, Jacob.
Project 2025. You're one of the authors. You're on the advisory board. You work for Heritage. You're basically January, February, and March in a Project 2025 calendar, right? But you were asked this weekend about it, and you said, no, the administration isn't following Project 2025. So just, I'll go through lightning rounds. It's only have 2 minutes. Just tell me, coincidence or not, in the Project 25, abolishing Department of Education, you guys are doing that. Is that a coincidence?
The president's view.
Coincidence
agenda,
or not?
The president's.
Coincidence or not? That's all you got to ask.
Agenda.
Okay, I'll go through the rest. Any diversity, equity, inclusion?
The president's agenda is
shifting FEMA costs to the states.
The
targeting PBS and the
agenda.
National Public Radio.
President
freezing
designs.
Federal assistance, restricting gender affirming care, revoking security clearances, stripping civil servants of employment protections, reinstating service members who refuse COVID-19 vaccines, banning transgender people from the military, a hiring freeze, withdrawing from the World Health Organization, sending active duty troops to the southern border, limiting refugee admissions, rescinding temporary protected status designations, capping indirect costs for university-based research, requiring disclosures of foreign gifts to universities, apparently not planes to presidents, asserting the president's power to remove federal officials, and targeting NOAA. Were those all just coincidences that they happened to be in Project 25 and they were just in the back pocket of the president since November?
The president has never been more of a promises made, promises kept president than we've ever had in history. He has run on an agenda. He was very clear on that agenda. He's now enacting that agenda. And those of us who work for him work for his agenda in executing that.
You can stop the tape. Yeah, his promises from Project 2025. I mean, what? But by the way, well done.
Thank you.
Unassailably clear.
Yeah.
That this man ain't calling the shots. that he is a mere puppet. I want to dig into this because there's something with the Musk-Trump feud thing. Yeah.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is threatening to cut Elon Musk's government contracts as their fractured alliance rapidly escalates into a public feud. Finn Gomez is CBS News political director in Washington.
The bromance is over. The bromance is dead. You know, I think earlier in the cycle, earlier in the year, what we're seeing now is a schism within the party and within the administration. And it's, you know, and you're seeing it and it's flaming out in historical proportions here.
The Supreme Court has unanimously ruled a law which allowed Mexico to sue U.S. gunmakers for their use in violence in Mexico is invalid, with the burden of proof on the gunmaker too great.
They've reversed in a federal appeals court, the First Circuit, that they could be held liable because the gunmaker should have known that their guns were going to be trafficked and be used for violence by the cartels in Mexico. If the court had adopted that rationale, this would have been a major case.
CBS News Chief Legal Correspondent Jen Crawford. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Aaron Rodgers to join the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting Rodgers will report to Pittsburgh when the Steelers hold their mandatory veteran minicamp next week. Rodgers says he's been in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
In golf, the AmFam Championship underway at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison, raising millions for charity.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Strickler with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Actress Mia Sara is back after a 14-year hiatus. You might know her as Sloane Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yahoo Entertainment reports she was back on the red carpet at the premiere of The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy based on a Stephen King novel. Sara was last seen on the big screen in 2011 in Dorothy and the Witches of Oz. Sara says she is not officially out of retirement, but will always work if director Mike Flanagan asks her. I feel the same way. Here is some cool news on the heels of a really good documentary about Sly and the Family Stone. The Hulu documentary Sly Lives was insightful and a really fun watch. Now, 60 years after a concert recording, a new album will be released. According to Variety, the first family, live at Winchester Cathedral, 1967, will be released this summer. The band's manager put the recordings in a vault shortly after the show decades ago. They were discovered in 2002. The new old material will be released July 18th on High Moon Records. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly cloudy skies, light winds, and morning lows will dip into the mid and upper 50s. On Friday, partly sunny skies, and there will be some showers, even some rumbles of thunder. High temperatures will warm to the lower 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Keldon Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station
and on the
Maggie
app.
Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to discuss what the heck went wrong with Wisconsin's biennial budget and the draconian cuts the MAGA regime is proposing right here at home.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Say this. Used to be a saying in politics that, boy, I'll vote for the guy or gal that I want to have a beer with. And I think we are damnedly lucky here in the state of Wisconsin. Our two Democratic congresspeople, those are folks I want to hang out with, have a beer with. We've got one fabulous guest with us this afternoon. It is Congressman Mark Pocan of the 2nd Congressional District, going toe-to-toe yesterday with Russell Vogt, the architect of Project 2025, and literally the harbinger of doom for so many working Americans. Again, thank you for your excellent work yesterday in the committee hearing. We've been listening to a bit of that sound. If you missed any of that, you can always check it out. When we podcast our shows, go to civicmedia.us. Check them out on Apple or Spotify Pods. How does a guy, I mean, Russell Vogt is, nobody voted for this guy.
Yeah.
And yet it seems that between Russell Vogt, Elon Musk, and Stephen Miller, they're the ones that are making the policy calls.
Yeah, Donald Trump is the celebrity, right? I mean, I blame the producers of Celebrity Apprentice for him. And I'll never forgive them because they took this multiple bankrupted business person who didn't pay his vendors, who was awful in every way, made him look successful, put him on TV, gave him some popularity, and then, you know, he became president. But the people behind him that are doing this, Russ Vogt is Project 2025. Like, he really is the calendar boy for Project 2025. And, you know, Stephen Miller's all the evil stuff around immigration that's out there. Elon Musk spent $270-$280 million to elect the guy. Like, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is their puppet in some awful ways. And, you know, it's just, we've got to push back, and people want us to push back as hard as we can.
And I thank you for doing that. Elon Musk tweeting today, "You wouldn't have won the presidency without me."
Like, yeah.
The quiet parts are getting said out loud. I get very concerned when I think about the fact that Russell Vogt, a guy who I think 90% of Americans would be like, "Who the hell is that?" Right. They don't know who this guy is. They don't know they maybe have heard of the Heritage Foundation, but they don't really know. Project 2025 is longer than freaking War and Peace.
Right. 100 pages, I think, or something.
Yeah, it is all of this dense wonkisms. It's hard to parse. But all of this is going to make Americans poorer, sicker, and more economically insecure overall. People will literally die because of what Russ Vogt wants to architect, all in the name of tax cuts for people that don't need any more handouts from the middle class. We've already given the top 1% from us bottom 90% folks $51 trillion since 1981. They don't need any more. Congressman, what do you want folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, but especially in districts, you know, Brian Stiles' district, in Derek Van Orten's district, what do you want them to do now that all of these MAGA regime folks in the state of Wisconsin have voted for this big, brutal bill?
Yeah, I mean, six Republicans, every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted for a bill to take away Medicaid, health care from almost 14 million people, plus more through the cuts to the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. They voted to cut food assistance, the number one program keeping kids out of poverty, to 11 million people in the country. They're cutting education funding, Pell Grants for people going to college. They even did things that they didn't need to do, like they took away the ratios in nursing homes for seniors for staffing. And then this half a trillion dollar cut to Medicare. You have to hold those people accountable. And, you know, Ron Johnson, only Ron Johnson could be Ron Johnson in that he said it's not enough of cuts. So that's
it's
why
not cruel enough. I want Ron. Rojo got to go, but put that on the bumper sticker as you go out of Wisconsin. It's not cruel enough for Ron.
I know. So I'm not even going to talk about him because, honestly, man,
lost cause.
Too much by the end of the day anyway. And that's a lot. But I'll tell you, I've been doing town halls in other districts, mainly the third district. But I think we're going to start moving around to maybe a few other spots. And I've had 400 people show up in Broca, 350 in La Crosse. Even on a Saturday morning in Eau Claire in summer with the farmer's market outside, we had over 125 or so folks. But they want to be heard. And right now, this is the smell test, the Wisconsin common sense values. If this was really a good bill, wouldn't they be going all around their districts telling people what's really in it for them? But instead, they're hiding in their basements because they're told not to do a town hall because they're going to do something like Jody Ernst and say everyone's going to die anyway because this bill will make people at the end of the day die in some cases. So, yeah. You know, we just have to – the common sense is this bill is bad or else they would be publicly talking about it. But then we got to hold them accountable. We have a way to do that next year. But right now, they're going to vote on a lot of other bad things. So contact your rep. If they're going somewhere, they're not doing public town halls, make any event they go to a town hall. Bring the media, tell them you're going to be outside the event, and try to make that member of Congress answer. I used to do that when I was much younger to a member of Congress that I wanted to be heard on. I think people just have to be super participatory in politics.
Well, and whether or not you have the time to be able to come to a town hall to care enough to actually get past the rhetoric and focus on what the result is going to be. Yeah. And that's, you know, I talk about how do you know you're the mark of a political con? And it's when someone just keeps repeating the talking points and won't get down into any of the details. And that is, I don't care which Sunday talk show you're watching, it's all the same.
Yeah.
It is all the same all day long. And no one has mastery of the facts. One of those other tiny little bits that they snuck into the bill to bend a knee to their tech overlords and folks like Peter Thiel, who apparently got seed money from Jeffrey Epstein, right, who's the architect of J.D. Vance's political ascendancy. They snuck in this provision that says, oh, yeah, we won't regulate artificial intelligence for a decade. I don't know any legislator that I've ever met face to face, even in two dimensions, that's like, you know what I want to do is give away more of my legislative authority.
Yeah. No, Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power of the purse, Congress the power to do tariffs. And we've completely given that up to Donald Trump. So that's already bad enough. But, you know, every member from Wisconsin has not spoke out on the Republican side. And, you know, Gwen and I are doing our best. Gwen is amazing. I love her. We went to an ICE facility on Monday, the only ICE facility in the state, to make sure we were doing our oversight responsibilities. But oversight responsibilities is actually knowing what cuts DOGE is making, is knowing what you're voting for in a bill, is not hurting your constituents when they're going to lose their health care or food assistance. And, you know, there has to be accountability. So, you know, if I were someone in a tighter district like Brian Stile or Derek Van Orden, you know, better figure out a way to listen to your constituents, or you better get to Costco and get a discount card so you can start buying Depends by the case, because, you know, you're going to be in trouble. This is not something that people want us to do, and they're doing it.
One of the things that I find really, specifically if we're talking about Congressman Stile and Van Orden, Stile, I can't believe I'm going to say this, at least has the good style, perhaps, to like stick to the talking point. I don't understand the DVO approach of I'm going to insult the hell out of people. I'm going to lie through my teeth. And then when asked to explain, I'm going to have an explosive anger episode. Like if a constituent is asking you a question in good faith, even if they do so poorly or with tone that you take exception to, you're supposed to be the elected official and take their concerns seriously. I just don't get his entire approach to the very real concerns and the very real consequences that will impact his constituents.
People who have stability issues or perhaps are not as well informed about public affairs, despite being an elected official. I think that's kind of the response, right? In fact, I've noticed he'll actually, you know, put out people's social media who attack him on social media. Come on, social media is trolls, right? If you can't stand up to trolls, I mean, this guy's supposed to be a former Navy SEAL, and I've never seen anyone so afraid of his constituents, right? I mean, it just, but he is MAGA. He thinks that if you do the big lie like Trump, he's still saying no one will lose Medicaid off of the bill. And, you know, no one else, like I said, the Cato Institute, Moody's, all these other groups have all said we're going to add to the debt and people are going to lose health insurance and food assistance. And he's still trying to lie about it.
Do you think so? This gets to the point. I think some of this is willful ignorance.
Yes.
I don't want to know. I'm not going to educate myself. And to me, whether it's Joni Ernst saying, let them all eat cake, go ahead and die, or DVO just lying about the Medicaid problem, we're now seeing reporting in the New York Times that not only is healthcare purchased through the Obamacare exchange is going to get nearly double in cost for some people, it will push that also, the big brutal bill will push millions off of the exchanges and they will lose healthcare. He just lies. Do you think he's ever asked a staffer, hey, have you done the math? What is it that these Democrats keep saying? I don't think he asked the question, a complete lack of curiosity.
No, and you know, on Affordable Care Act, I'm glad you brought that up. $300 billion is being cut in subsidies. The whole idea is the subsidies make it
affordable.
But we were given facts that if we had a 60-year-old couple making $85,000 in my district with the changes in that bill, if they don't change them, they would have a 227% increase in premiums, $16,000 additional for their health care because of these cuts. So, of course, some of those folks are not going to be able to do that, and they're going to lose their health care. And that's, again, being documented right now. But, you know, Derek is just doing what Donald Trump does, just give the big lie and let it stand out there. But he doesn't have the personality or the charisma, I guess you have to say, about Donald Trump. And therefore, I think, you know, he's going to be held more accountable at the end of the day.
Yeah, I believe someone said, oh, Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. Oh, Mr. Congressman Derek Van Orten, you're no Donald Trump, which is weird. Is that a compliment or a cut? Who knows? Congressman, when you look at sort of the work that comes next for you in particular, where are some of the places where you think maybe we can make an inroad? Maybe we can reduce some harm. Where can there be some traction? What are you focused on for your next step, sir?
So we have amazing good news on the litigation front. Our founding fathers did a great job, and the rule of law is largely working. There's been over 250 lawsuits against the illegal actions of Donald Trump. 185 have already been adjudicated in a positive way for us. And Trump caves in. You know, Attorney General Josh Powell will tell you, when he's working with the other attorney generals, you know, other than a couple high profile cases, and he still is in legal battles over them, the Mr. Garcia in El Salvador and the AP News, but everything else, he just caves. So support the groups doing litigation. There's litigation trackers out there, and that's important. Communication. It's not misinformation. It's disinformation out there. We just have to counter it. So when Russ Vogt comes to a committee and then we can share the video and the audio like you're doing, people will understand, oh, yeah, they're full of beep.
Beep.
That is important to have out there. And then finally, elections have consequences. We're hurt by them right now. But, you know, April, we sent the biggest national message. And it wasn't that we won that seat, and it wasn't that we won it by 10 points. It was the turnout.
Yes.
That turnout was so big. That was mid-level congressional turnout for an April nonpartisan primary. That's where we have some real power in the next year's election.
That is U.S. Representative for the 2nd Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin, Mark Pocan, our friend and yours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep representing Wisconsin as you do, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Maggie.
We're going to be joined on the other side by the Center for American Progress Action Fund Senior Fellow in Immigration, Tom Javits. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope it is as warm and beautiful where you are as it is here. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's finally June, and that means it is time for Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win Contest. The word of this hour, which will get you qualified to win one of two prizes that we give away every 4 o'clock hour all through next week, is either $100 or Brewers tickets. And the word that will get you entered to win one of our grand prizes, a getaway to either Wisconsin Dells, Wis Vegas, as I like to call it, or Door County, including your gas money, is, drumroll, Dells, as in one of the places that you can get away to, D-E-L-L-S. Be sure you text that in via the app, not the regular text line, before we hit 5 o'clock. Got a great guest for everybody next. His name is Tom Javits. He's a senior fellow in immigration for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We are in Trump 2.0, and we've got Trump Travel Ban 2.0. It's bigger, badder, and even more discriminatory than we had before. Also, a tiny bit of news that you may have not caught. Just within the last couple of days, the Trump administration has deleted a web page and evidence summarizing a study that found that undocumented immigrants are arrested at less than half the rate of native-born U.S. citizens for violent and drug crimes, and at less than a quarter of the rate for native-born citizens when it comes to property crimes. Tom, all of that as a place setter for our discussion about immigration. What are real solutions? What do those look like? And why are mass deportations simply not an answer to what we really need to do to address some of our country's immigration problems?
Yeah, thanks so much for kicking us off with that. I mean, you know, I've been in this space long enough that I know that we used to have constructive conversations about immigration. When I first got to Capitol Hill, when I first started working on this stuff, I left the ACLU where I was litigating, and I went in 2009. And I was part of a totally top secret bipartisan effort to try and work on immigration reform legislation that would focus on reforming the legal immigration system, focus on reforming the humanitarian protection system, focus on reforming, providing a path to citizenship for people who are here. It was really a comprehensive approach to figuring out how to modernize the immigration system. Our laws have not been updated in any meaningful way since 1990. We haven't had a legalization program to provide people who are undocumented an opportunity to earn legal status since 1986. I mean, the laws are
I don't like to butt in, but I want people to hear what you just said. We have not had a pathway to, if someone came here illegally, we have not created a legal mechanism for them to attempt to obtain legal status since when, Tom?
Yeah, so 1986 was the last time there was legislation to provide a pathway for longtime residents to get legal status. And we think about something like DACA. A lot of your viewers are familiar with DACA. And we think about DACA being young people and dreamers and all the stuff around that. To qualify for DACA today, for the folks who got in, that program was announced in 2012. That was 13 years ago. To qualify in 2012, you had to have been here for 5 years. So they came in 2007. So you're talking about people who came as children 18 years ago. When you hear people talking about DACA recipients today and efforts, ongoing efforts from the Trump administration to end DACA, they're talking about people who came here as children and at this point in time have all been here a minimum of 18 years already.
It's just mind-boggling. There has been so much fear-mongering. It really is all fear-mongering. I mean, the immigration policy is fear-monger and then mass deportation with guys dressed in full, like they're being dropped into Fallujah. I don't understand. Tell our listeners why, Tom, none of this is actually making anyone safer.
Yeah, no, I mean, so you started off with, you know, the reference to the data. I mean, there is data out there about, you know, criminality and the propensity of individuals to commit crime based on immigration status. And it's absolutely true, and it's been true for a long time, that undocumented immigrants and immigrants broadly, you know, are arrested less often for crimes than U.S. citizens, for instance. And so that makes sense, of course. You've got a population that largely doesn't want to get, you know, onto the radar of people. And so, you know, they're fearful of it being taken away from them if they're in lawful status and they're afraid of removal. And so they follow the rules. These are folks who follow the rules by and large. In the Trump administration, they are not driven with their immigration policy by public safety as their driving force. Their priority is numbers and sort of spectacular events. And so that's why you hear them talking about creating immigration arrest quotas, and why you hear that Stephen Miller, the president's deputy chief of staff, gets on the phone with high-level or low-level ICE officers to berate them and threaten them with termination if they don't get their arrest numbers up. And so, you know, their focus is on getting numbers up. The number of people who are in ICE detention right now who have no criminal history whatsoever is 6 or 7 times higher than it was when they first came to office. They're arresting folks on the street. They're taking people who are lawful students who are here studying at our best institutions, and they're picking them up off the streets and trying to deport them. And they're taking people, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who are in lawful status, who have work authorization, who are raising families, and they're taking their immigration status away from them, making a problem that's already bad so much worse.
So it's not making us any safer. What do you say to those folks that are listening out there? It's like, I don't really care about the percentages or propensity or any of that, or if people, I just want all these people who are here illegally removed. Or if they've got one parking ticket, get them out of here. Why won't that make people safer? What's I think that is one of the biggest sort of cognitive bits of dissonance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, people's visceral reaction of dissatisfaction with the current system is understandable. And that's the thing that I think we're often caught in this trap where it feels like because, you know, on the side that's trying to advocate for humane, you know, solutions, it looks like we're defending the status quo. We're not defending the status quo. We're just saying the answer is not indiscriminate mass deportation.
The answer is not indiscriminate mass deportation. As an economist, I'll say this. These dollars and law enforcement officers that we're directing to that aren't available for the actual police work that actually keeps us safe. My big thanks to Tom Javits, very patient individual this afternoon. Can't wait to have you back, Tom, so we can continue this discussion. Up next, we've got William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. We're going to talk about Medicaid and the fact that folks will be losing insurance. Up next, right here on this.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Washington is reverberating as President Trump and Elon Musk hurl vocal thunderbolts at each other. Their relationship melted down. The president is threatening to cancel Musk's government contracts, and Musk claims Trump could not have won the presidency without him. CBS's Nancy Cortes takes it from there.
This fight has now gone galactic, with President Trump threatening to yank billions in government contracts from the Elon Musk company SpaceX, and Musk is saying that in response, he's going to decommission the Dragon spacecraft, which is used to transport astronauts to the International Space Station.
And that could set back NASA and putting Americans back on the moon for years if Musk follows through. President Trump did have some good words to say about Chinese leader Xi Jinping after they had a conversation about trade.
President Trump says the U.S. and China are in what he called very good shape.
We have a deal with China.